Our precious Heavenly Father, we do pray that you will be with Bill and Debbie there and with the brothers and sisters in Leon. Lord, we praise you for the work that you've raised up, the way that you've touched some hearts and lives, and you're working there. Lord, just nurture and nourish these brothers and sisters. Raise up a church to honor and glorify your name.
Amen.
We give you the praise in all this, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, that's a good place to start, is the church in Leon.
Amen.
The Lord is doing marvelous things, and I want to thank each and every one of you for your prayers over the years. I wasn't there through all of it, as most of you know. I've been back a year this time, and in just the last 6-7 months, the Lord has begun to do what we've been praying for. And I caution each one of us to remember that it's the Lord doing the work.
Amen.
He uses men and women, the missionaries that stood. He uses you that give and pray. You that are doing a mission work right here in your own city and in your own neighborhood with your own family and friends. But it's still the Lord that does the work. And after the Wednesday night meeting, we talked about the flesh can do nothing and how that we have to rely on the Spirit of God to work. And then this morning with the potter and the story that's there that it's all what the potter does. It's all what the Lord Jesus does in your life that makes it worth anything.
Amen.
And you take that out and you're nothing but a piece of clay. And I've been really impressed with that lately because I, as am probably the chief of most, that begin to think that I've got something that the Lord needs and that what I can do, He needs to incorporate into His plan. And the fact is that we need to ask the Lord if we can at least stand by and watch. He's done the work. And even though a mission conference to me is a very awkward time, we know all that I've just said and we know it's true, but yet we're here to show you what's taking place. And we're using the words I and we and we're doing this in Mexico and we're doing this in Thailand. It's the Lord doing the spiritual work.
Amen.
We're His servants. Drew, we go and we speak the words of God as you do here in San Antonio. But if the Lord doesn't do the working and the moving in His hearts, we're not going to get anything. But you take out what we've done and you still would have people that are, you know, I lost it. Anyway, you get my point. It's what the Lord does. But again, like I say, it's awkward for me because here we are to show you what we're doing. And this place, praise the Lord, is so much different than many others. We're not looking for results. For 2.5 years, nothing took place for what we could see with our eyes in Leon, Guanajuato. You brothers were faithful. You prayed. You gave. You expected nothing from us. We went to the Lord, and Lord, you do your will in this town. And by the grace of God, we're beginning to see things with our eyes. I caution myself, don't get over-encouraged with what you see with your eyes. Why should you be more encouraged with what you see with your eyes, what you believed was happening all along?
Amen. Amen.
I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has worked in hearts and lives ever since Billy first stepped into Mexico. And we have an opportunity to see this, and it's something for us to tell you about. But it's the Lord Jesus Christ that's working. I would like to talk about some practical things. Everybody gets up and has a big spiritual sermon, and so I'd like to just tell you what we're doing in Leon as a group. There's four of us there, four families that are in Leon, Guanajuato, working together, and to display any of the myths, we actually do testify and witness to people occasionally when it doesn't interfere with our vacationing. I think many people think that the missionaries got it made down there. It's a better climate, cheaper living. But then again, we aren't making what we would back home either. But we have our problems. It's not any utopia down there with our four different families, eight different personalities, 13 of almost 14 children, living in four houses within a stone's throw. As you can imagine, we lose privacy, we lose independence, we lose a lot of things. And I praise the Lord for the other three families that we work with.
Amen.
They are sold out and dedicated to preach the gospel. We're from a mission board here that is unlike anything else you'll find. It puts no restraints on us. It's a danger in one point because we can get lax, but another point, it's up to the Lord to work in our hearts. And I praise the Lord for that. And the other three that I work with are slave drivers. They make us actually go out in the mornings and knock on doors, and we preach in the streets 12 times a week, weather permitting and health permitting. Sometimes our voices get so bad we have to cut back a little. But what we actually do is knock on doors in one block, like 20 houses, and hand out a gospel tract and invite them out to hear us preach. We then preach in the middle of the street, proclaiming Jesus Christ. We don't proclaim a religion. We don't proclaim our personal opinions and doctrines. We proclaim what Jesus Christ did, and that what they believe isn't the same with the Bible. If you're familiar with Catholicism, they have the same terms, they have the same words. They even use a Bible that we can present to them and show them the gospel in. But they don't have the reality of Jesus Christ. They don't have salvation. Their lives aren't being changed. They go to their masses and to their temples a sinner. They go condemned in sin, and they exit the same. They base their hope in a lot of things, but they don't base it in the Word of God.
Amen.
They don't base it in what God said. He said, "Believe in me, and thou shalt be saved." And we're preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
It means that we have to convince them that they're saints and they're virgins and their rosaries and all those things don't have power to save.
Amen.
And so we can't preach an easy believism. You have a lot of people that go down there and have a bunch of very convenient questions like, "Do you love Jesus?" They'll all raise their hand. Do you want to go to heaven? And they'll all raise their hand. Well, if you want to accept Jesus Christ, then just raise your hand. And of course, it's a unanimous decision. They count the people. They write on their prayer letters. You've had 400 saved this week and send it back. But they're not in church. They're not being, their lives haven't been changed. And they really aren't going to meet them in heaven. That's sad. They have false hope. We run into them every day. Those that have false hope in what someone's told them in error, trying to build a number to present back home to raise support. In most places, you don't receive support unless you're sending back the numbers that are saved and baptized.
Right.
And we're not looking for numbers, brothers and sisters. We're looking to work out the work to show the gospel of Jesus Christ as it really is.
Amen.
And it's going to mean for these people in Mexico to accept Jesus Christ, to turn their back on 450 years of tradition that has been just saturated with Catholicism. Before that, they had their own religions, which Catholicism worked in together with it, and it's all a big conglomeration. They have idolatry that makes me sick when I go through their ceremonies and see what they're doing. Their faith is not in Jesus Christ. Their faith is not in the blood of Christ that paid for their sins and bought them from condemnation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. It isn't the Virgin Mary, and it isn't all these other things. And we preach in the street that Jesus Christ is the only one that saves.
Amen.
The Virgin Mary can't save. We preach strong and hard. And a couple of us have been actually hit and socked. They throw a few rocks at us. They don't like what they hear. The true gospel is offensive. Something's wrong when everyone in the whole congregation will raise their hand and say, "Yeah, I agree with what you're saying." Because the gospel is not popular. The Bible says the road to heaven is very small and narrow. Very few are going to go. And the true gospel is offensive to many people. I want to thank you all for your support. Get my notes here so I don't... There in the preaching then, we return to that same street that night and do the same thing with a different track and preach again. And of course, after each preaching, we try to get to talk to these people individually, personally, have Bible studies in their homes. We have little cards made up and said, "Come meet us with us in the park," and this sort of thing. Saturday night is usually a highlight of the week. We go down to the main plaza downtown. There's literally hundreds of people. They're milling around in the plaza, and we start preaching in a loud voice in the corner. Draw quite a spectacle. The police have tried to run us off several times, but we're not breaking a law. We're not selling anything. We don't need a permit to speak. It's still got that much freedom in Mexico, and we as gringos have a little more clout there than the normal Mexicans, and they're a little more hesitant to lay hold of us. And so we do have that freedom at this time. And many times there'll be 150, 200 people that'll gather around after the preaching wanting to know, many of them just arguing. And usually if you strike up an argument with this person, he never hears you. But there's maybe 50 people standing behind him that are hearing the logic on both sides, and they're the ones that you're really reaching. And so it's an interesting time. It's an enjoyable time for me. I'm beginning to get enough Spanish to where I can carry on, and I'm at an advantage with them. If they say something I don't like, I act like I don't understand, and I just you'll get three or four questions at a time, and you can just say I don't understand until you get the one you want to answer. And you still use that method, Brent?
understand.
Yeah. No obelisk, eh? And then, of course, we have our regular meetings, which Billy's in right now. And we're meeting in open air in a park. The brothers met for several months in a park that was kind of secluded. You couldn't find it. In a neighborhood where we were preaching and had no results. We moved to the main park and close to another place where we started preaching. And this is where the Lord began to open the doors. Sunday night, we start out with one of the brothers, usually Brent, Bill or Joey, will give a teaching message, teaching the basic doctrines, the basic differences between what the Catholics teach and what the Bible teaches, and that sort of thing, and building them up in the Word of God so that they can make a conscious decision, you know?
Yeah.
The Bible has reason. The Bible has the right. The Bible is what God is saying, and my church isn't keep trying to throw in Spanish words in there. The church isn't teaching the way of the Bible. And there's benches we set on along the side. We face each other about 10 feet apart on these little concrete buildups they got inside the sidewalk. And we just sing and have a regular meeting. Then after the teaching, we have a regular open meeting. And the last couple weeks, the brothers, the gringos, have just backed off and making the Mexican brothers carry the meeting. Sometimes it gets kind of quiet, and sometimes they got something to say, but they're learning to function. They're learning to take a step in the right direction, and they're standing up and giving what they have of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's 20 to 30 at times adults that are meeting with us on a regular basis, men and women that we can count on. They're going to be there, and someday maybe there'll be a building, and then we'll lose the outreach that we have in the park unless we continue to have a meeting there, because as we're having this singing, there's many people that come and gather around and at a distance, safe distance, and watch us crazy people that are praising the Lord. And we've had many good contacts, and some of the people are meeting there with us now that we met right there in that park having a regular meeting.
Amen.
Wednesday night, we have our Lord's table meeting and prayer meeting. It was too difficult to have the Lord's meeting, Lord's table, at Sunday night, as it's early in the afternoon, and hundreds of people are in this park passing through and looking things over. And to them, it's communion. To them, it's the Mass. It's the ostia. It's the blood of Christ. If they're giving it out, then us Catholics, good Catholics, will take this, because this is the body of Christ. And they don't realize it's the symbol. They don't realize that it's what we do to remember Him by His commandment. And so we change to Wednesday night, where there's less people in the park. It's later in the evening, so that the actual Christians can have a time of remembering the Lord. Then there's the printing. As you know, I went to Mexico to help with the practical things, and I woke up one day and I knew enough Spanish to memorize two or three little messages, and I started preaching them with the brothers, and now I can ad lib and go, what do they call it, embellish, I guess is the word, but I can get a point across, and so I'm preaching with them. That makes us four, so we have two teams. And the printing's kind of fell by the wayside. There was a man there that had a big print shop, and he wanted to buy our press. Well, we don't want to give up printing. We almost went to jail for life for getting it in there. And some of you remember? We don't want to give the thing up real bad. So we worked out a deal where he uses the press for 3 weeks in his shop, and then one out of a month, and then that 1 week that's left over, his man will do our printing, whatever we want, and we pay the man's wages. The man's wages is less than what we were paying for rent for a place to put the press. And so we're getting professional quality tracks, and all we have to do is deliver a photo-ready copy to the man and pick up the tracks. And we praise the Lord for that.
It's
really released us, and we feel it's working out well, and the Lord is blessed in that area. And we're getting down to more and more of just the spiritual part of ministry, and we praise the Lord for that. I'd like you to turn to Ezra chapter 3. Verse 7 has a verse that I'd kind of like to take for you all to take for your verse. It says, they gave money also unto the masons and to the carpenters, and meat and drink and oil. I'm both a carpenter and a mason, so that's what I'm going to be on my next prayer card. Anyway, what I want to share with you, just a few scattered thoughts out of the first six verses. let Brother Lindell explain verse 7 if you'd like. And chapter 3 of Ezra 3:1 says, "And then the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities." It says the seventh month. It means the perfect time. It means when things were just right, when God had appointed. Just like in Leon, brothers and sisters. There was time when nothing was taking place in our eyes, but there came a time, the Lord's timing. And He says, "Now let's start things rolling. We've worked in you three, four missionaries now for all these years, and you're ready." Just like in the Potter story today. There has to be a preparation, a timing. And we thought we were ready. But as we find out now that we have brothers and sisters meeting with us, getting the meeting started was nothing compared to keeping them going. There's nothing compared to dealing with the personal problems that all these new believers are having. Some of you have got some real problems. But I think you'd find it multiplied in Mexico with their economic situation, with their traditional backgrounds and their customs. All this heaped upon them. They are not just kind of shunned or get an occasional argument with their family because they've chosen Jesus Christ. They're kicked out. They're excommunicated. There's a girl in Santa Luisa that just had a baby. Has her mother talked to her yet that you know of?
She hasn't seen the baby.
Been what? Month? Month and a half? Month. It's been a good while. This young girl had her first child, and she still hasn't seen her mother. Her mother has considers her dead and won't see her. That's persecution. That's her only family is her brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask you to pray for these ones that make this decision.
Amen.
Because when the time is right, it's going to cost some. When the time is right for us missionaries to start seeing results, we're going to have to start really going to work. It's not going to be we just go out for 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the afternoon and preach and go home and enjoy a Coke. It's going to be some real problems. And the time is right in Mexico right now in Leon. The Lord has said this is the seventh month.
Amen.
And it says the people gathered themselves together as one man in Jerusalem. The people gathered themselves together as one man. We have so many eyes in the world and not enough we's. So many times we want to step out and do what we want to do. We want to step out and do what I personally want to do. And we're all guilty of it. We have our personal plan and our personal ideas. But it says when all the people, it says they gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. One man. They all put their vision, their entire being toward Jerusalem, toward what God wanted, toward the blessings that God had to give them through doing His will. And that's where we need to stand, brothers and sisters. And I praise the Lord for this church because we in Leon are trying to be as a one man to the work there. And I know that you here are one man to seeing that it happens. It's obvious. You're there every month. Our support is there every month. We're constantly getting letters that tell of that you're praying for us and that you're concerned for us. You have conferences once a month or once a year to come up here and encourage us. It's an encouragement to us. And for us to give a chance to give some feedback and perhaps we can encourage you and show you that it is worth it all. We need to be of one, be of that one man. And of course that one man is Jesus Christ. We need to live Him out. Live out His will. What He wants for us as a church and as a mission and as individuals toward the goal of Jesus Christ. Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren and the priest, and Zerubbabel, and the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of God to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. The word here is as it is written, brothers and sisters. As the word of God says, you'll find a lot of people that have done as it says in verse 1, and they've come together as one man. You'll find a lot of groups and a lot of organizations that have the same mind, but their foundation isn't the word of God.
Right.
It isn't as it was written.
Amen.
We deal with people every day that say they have faith, and oh, I believe they do. They'll walk. People from Mexico City will walk to San Juan de los Lagos, which is 28 to 29 days on foot, because they have great faith. But it's not based on what God said. It's not based as it's written. Brothers and sisters, we need to examine what we believe. We need to examine where we stand.
Amen.
Today. And if it's not on what the Word of God says, then we're not in the will of God, and we're even contrary to what He's doing. As I begin to talk to these people, and I hear all their comments, I'm just saddened that maybe I'm not standing on the Word of God, and it beckons me to come back and know the Word, to know what God demands, what God expects. The Bible says, as it is written. Drop down to verse 4, and it has the same thing again. And they kept also the Feast of the Tabernacles, as it is written. It's based on the Word of God. Up to verse 3 again, and the last part says, burnt offerings morning and evening. It says in the latter part of verse 4, and they offered the daily burnt offerings by number according to the custom of the duty of every day, required. And it says in verse 5, and afterward offered the continual burnt offerings. Brothers and sisters, our service is to be continual. It's to be every day, morning and night. True, you that aren't missionaries have a job, you have things that have to be done here. But not very many of you work all alone. Not very many of you don't see someone in the morning at least. Roland, you see somebody in the morning when you check out your truck. You see them at night when you come home. You see them at the stores. All of us have contact with people. The Lord's not concerned with ideas and with a number of other things. He's concerned with people. And when we are in contact with people, we're to be offering what we have. We need to be offering the Lord Jesus Christ and what He can do in their lives. The Bible says to do it every day, to do it morning and evening, and it says to do it continually. I want to be continually, morning and night, offering what I have of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not easy, and it's not always the end thing to do, but praise the Lord. He's given me grace thus far to at least see it. And as He works in our lives, we'll see more and more. The work in Lyon is growing. You'll probably hear much of it this rest of this week. But you pray for it, and you pray for us in Lyon. My Spanish is not good by any means, but I can present the message of salvation, and I can present to them what they need to know, what God says they need to know. I thank you very much.
Amen.